Tuesday. It's Tuesday. We'll give you two for one fun today. That's what we will do. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the stream.
It's nice to be on the stream, Wendy, where we can go unbridled. There's no rules on the stream. Anything goes on the stream. Anything.
But we do keep, we adhere to the rules pretty much. We're trained broadcasters, Bill.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
We were talking...
Pillars in our community.
I wouldn't go that far.
Nah, thought I'd...
It sounded good.
I wanted to see how it sounded, and it sounded good, but it's inaccurate.
Not factual,
not
yeah.
Not factual at all.
We were talking about...
My Pillars. That should be the sponsor.
I like that very
why
much.
Why don't they sponsor us? That's crazy.
I love my
Pillow. What were you saying, Wendy, before I rudely interrupted?
Usually it's me that's rudely interrupting you,
yeah.
So it's all right. Today we wanted to talk about the hottest things so far in 2019. It is a new year. I had to write a couple of checks. I had to rip up a couple of checks because I still put 2018
wrong year
on them.
Ah, you're off by one. They'll give it to you. They
no,
round
they won't.
Up. No? You usually see these lists, these greatest things of the year,
At the end of the year,
and the end of December, but you have the first one for 2019.
Because they're pretty huge and pretty important.
All right.
For instance, number one, the government shutdown.
Yeah.
I know.
It began. Biggest story of the year so far.
It began in late 2018, but it has dragged well into January 2019.
25 days in, are we? Does that sound right?
Yes.
Something like that?
I almost wanted to say 26. It's, of course, centered around the border wall debate. And it is now in the history books. It's the longest government shutdown in U.S. history, affecting national parks, food stamps, government workers' pay along the way. I saw that Donald Trump tweeted out about Nancy Pelosi saying, oh, it's a wonder you get paid, but all the people involved in this shutdown are not getting paid. Can he look in the mirror when he says that? Because he is the one who has decided to shut the government down. I know the Democrats aren't giving him what he wants, but that's when you say, okay, at least both sides are talking. We'll open this up again.
Right.
And let's discuss. But he is literally keeping this shut down until he gets his way. He probably won't get his way. So does that mean the government will be shut down? It's got to have a gone fishing sign for all of 2019? Because they're never going to come to a compromise.
He's alluded to the fact that it could last months or a year or more, you know. They were saying today that the residual effects are, you know, initially it's just the people who work for the government that are affected initially, but then the trickle down is, like today they said, what's going to happen is you're going to see air routes being canceled because there's no TSA agents and people to govern that at airports, so they're going to keep cutting back on the amount of flights that go from city to city. And that hurts business. That
absolutely
hurts commerce tremendously.
It hurts our safety.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With a lack of
huge
TSA agents. And we were talking about this before, and I love my job, but Bill, what if all of a sudden they said, you know, we want you to come in, but we're not going to pay you for until we settle some issue.
Right.
And then we say, well, how long do you think that's going to be? And then they respond, not sure.
You would probably do it. Most people, I think, would do it for a little while on good faith. You go, I've worked there for a while.
And I love my job.
I love my job. So I'm going to keep going. But after a while, you go, boy, I've worked 3 weeks and haven't seen a penny. You've seen that sheet where they send you a check. The government sends you a check, but where the amount is, it's 0.00. So you're essentially getting a check. But then when you look at it, you go, wait, this is a check in name only. There's no money attached to this check.
And how much money did they waste selling out or sending out the checks that you can't do anything
with? Well, yeah, there's that. Sure.
Is this just proof? And again, if I went to my mortgage company, it's not like, you know, my neighbor down the street who owns the mortgage company. This is a corporation that doesn't know me from Adam.
Right.
Yeah, your brother.
Why is my brother involved
in
this? I don't
know. So, I mean, I could just see myself trying to go, here's the deal. I know you've heard about the government shutdown. I'm a government employee. I can't
pay
rent.
I don't think it holds any weight.
I know.
I doubt that it holds any weight. And I've already said this, but the irony is that Trump is a real estate guy. And you know if his tenants ever came to him ever and said, problems at work, they're not paying me. So because I don't have money, I can't give you money. How do you think he'd handle that news?
All right, well, that's number one.
That should be number one. That's the biggest story of the... I mean, I know, I get it, we're only, you know, a couple weeks in, but that's the hugest, biggest story so far.
Most of these are... All right, one of those, maybe just that one, is still going to be the top story at the end of the year of what is 2019 known for.
I think so.
But I don't know. This is number two, Bird Box.
I think it'll be long for, but at the end of the year, when we talk about the most important elements of the year, I think it'll be a footnote at best. But yeah, early on, it's a phenomenon, isn't it?
A lot of memes.
Yes.
A lot of memes, a lot of Bird Box challenges. And is this why Netflix is raising their price? Because 40-some million people tuned into
this? Good timing.
If that's the case, I expect not Bird Box 2, but I would like, you know, something along the lines of this high-quality motion picture.
Right.
They better start pushing out more stuff.
You know, I just thought of this. If that was a theatrical release, because of the way the movie business goes, if you have an unexpected hit, the top guys at the company go, we got to crank out another one. We got to do it fast because this thing is red hot. But with a service like this, with Netflix, it's not the same. You don't have a vested interest in box office.
Right.
You're selling a service. So this movie shouldn't have a sequel. It's a great freestanding movie.
Yes, agreed.
And we all, with what happened at the end, we can all use our imaginations and go, oh, here's what probably happened next. I don't think you need a sequel to this. But I guarantee you, if this was a theatrical release, they would already be deciding, how do we make a second movie?
I would watch a Bird Box too.
You would want to see that, yeah?
Because what? Yeah, I want to see what transpired. I don't want to give anything away, but I would like to see,
yeah,
how things continued.
No, all right.
Will you make one?
No, I'm doing good deeds.
The things that have completely defined the year of 2019, and it's only January. This is What's Hot and What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Number three is renewed calls for the prosecution of R. Kelly. That's a
big story.
Mm-hmm.
That's a giant story.
Lifetime, of course, began airing that 6-episode miniseries, which I think there are two I haven't seen yet. I'm watching them out of order because I started watching Friday night. We had talked to Alexander Zalbin from Decider.com.
Yeah.
And they were doing a marathon, and I missed the first two. So
this is it's really strange. This is almost one of those stories that you can see out of order, and it still makes sense. Because the gist that you're getting now is that everybody who knew R. Kelly, everybody who worked with him, everybody kind of got the fact that he was doing bad things, and nobody stopped him. I mean, I'm 4 episodes. There are 6 episodes
yeah.
in it. I have 10 minutes left in episode 4. It is repetitious. Sadly, you keep hearing the same story, and it's a gut-wrenching story, but the underlying theme is nobody stopped it.
I know, and I don't know if you watched the episode, and maybe they're all involving this, but there was a mom that went to L.A. looking in search of her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She went on the show to be part of this Surviving R. Kelly,
mm-hmm.
and while she was there, she's like, I'm not coming to L.A. without looking for my daughter. Did you see that episode?
Mm-hmm.
It's just heartbreaking, and, you know, we are so skeptical that sometimes you wonder, you know, are these girls really just doing it because they want to? And
I don't feel any of that here at all, zero.
But I don't feel they're being held against their will, but I do feel that some of these kids were as young as 13 or 14 years old, and you think... You want to be a star. These girls were all great singers. You got R. Kelly, of all people, saying, you know what, sweetheart, I'm going to help you. I am going to make you a star. I really think that young people, even me at my age, would fall for that. Like, really, you're going to help me out? And you kind of deal with things hoping that there's a payoff at the end. I can see where this would happen, and I don't approve of it, and I think it's horrible. And that's what he preyed on, knowing that they would feel indebted to him and do whatever they want just so they could be a star.
Don't you think that this kind of thing has gone on in show business and in other business,
oh, totally.
Other than show business, forever?
Totally. I mean, come on, it happened... The whole Me Too thing started because of, like, the casting couch
right.
that we even call it a casting couch because there have been not jokes, but comments made for years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. But as I was watching, I go, this is a story that has always existed. Some people have taken advantage of it way more than others. And if you haven't seen the R. Kelly thing, it's just so graphic in the things that he did, so horrible in the things that he did. But the one moment, it was one of the episodes I watched yesterday, I watched episodes 3 and most of 4 yesterday, was that while his trial was going on, he was still scouting out girls at the courthouse, still hitting on young underage girls, not in the courtroom, but on the way in and the way out. That's beyond problematic. That you just, you know, and there were people who said to him, and he even at some point said, I've got a problem with this, this is going to be trouble. But how nobody stopped it with all these countless episodes, it's just unbelievable.
The series Surviving R. Kelly is what we're talking about. It recounts a number of disturbing anecdotes from people with whom R. Kelly has worked. Everyone from celebrities to fans.
I give credit to guys like John Legend, who's on the show commenting on it. And he even said, you know, I knew him back then. I didn't know exactly what was going on, but the people that were closest to him certainly knew what was going on.
So these celebrities and fans, and most predominantly black women who alleged to be victims of his assault or harassment. It's Jim and I were watching Surviving R. Kelly. Michael came down and said, why aren't you guys watching like a movie or something that is time well spent? And we're like, well, I don't know. I kind of want to know the story. And I always blame, I'm on the radio, I need to know what's going on. But Michael's right. It doesn't seem like something we would be into, but it's just, I had to know the truth behind this or the alleged
The story is not only relevant and interesting, but there are so many little details. Like, I still remember, boy, this must have been 8 or 9 years ago, as the video became a thing that was very easily obtainable, either online or they point out you could go to a barber shop and get the R. Kelly sex video if you wanted to in a lot of neighborhoods. But the way he threw his brother under the bus, R. Kelly saying, that doesn't really look like me. That looks like my brother. That's my brother in that tape. He's trying to sell out his brother when he knew it was him.
Is this in the
story? Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen that episode
yet. It's amazing. And then they talked to his brother about it. But I remember when that was happening, I was at another radio station.
I don't remember that.
Talking about that, saying, if I was, let's say I did something even close to as horrendous as this, my mind would not come up with that. I would not go, no, that's my brother. Just out of nowhere. You know who looks enough like me for that to be? My brother. I bet that's my brother doing that to that girl in that video. That's a special kind of evil.
And there are older women too. There were a couple of women, and I'm not saying they're old, but they're in their 30s, so they're above the teenage age. And one of them was like a very popular DJ who fell for him, and they had a relationship.
Yeah.
She was told that, you know, R. Kelly said, hey, you're not the only one. There are going to be people everywhere. And she's like, you know, I'm cool with that.
Right.
And when he was in Atlanta, I might be mixing girls up, but it was an older one. And when he was in Atlanta, that was his girlfriend. But then when he was in Chicago, there was someone else. And then you just... I feel for they were fans at first, so then it's like somebody they idolize is paying attention to them, and they feel in their hearts, boy, this must be true love. It doesn't seem to be, but I can see where they could be swallowed up in this whole thing.
So how does his story, if you're comparing, because you and I have brought Bill Cosby's name into this a couple of times, what do you see as the differences and the similarities between...
Well, drugs is the huge difference.
Yes.
I mean, Bill Cosby was drugging these people to get his way, allegedly, and R. Kelly was
sweet talking him into it
and using that as a drug.
Yeah,
you know.
But don't you think with R. Kelly's thing, there was some level of sexual interest? Like with Bill Cosby, it didn't seem like the girls wanted anything to do with him sexually.
No,
they
were
wanted
some
to better
that
their
were,
careers.
Had a relationship.
As time went on, relationships developed, but I don't think any of them were getting into any relationship with Bill Cosby in hopes of it becoming sexual. They were looking at it as, he's taking an interest in me and my career.
That's what these girls felt. I don't think...
But some of them, the younger ones, were saying, he was coming to my high school And this guy that I loved his music, and all of a sudden he was being nice to me. Like, you could tell, even though there was an element, a couple of them, of this could better my career.
They were starstruck.
They were Yeah.
And I mean, again, you know, people in their 30s, people in their 50s can fall for that.
Yeah.
If you just, like, are a huge fan of someone, and all of a sudden, you know, they ask for your number and they text you,
Your world would be on edge. You just go, wow, that person that I'm interested
right.
in chosen, yeah.
I can see where you'd be sucked into the whole imagination of it.
But then, as they talk to these girls and they're doing things that they didn't seem to want to have any part of, isn't it amazing that at least one or two of them didn't, like, when he said, I'm going to do this to you and this is going to happen, that, like, none of them went, nah, that's not for me. Thanks, but I'm going to hold off on that.
I felt sorry for the parents who lost their young daughters to him.
Sure.
One guy was just saying, you know, he called a bunch of people up on stage to dance. You know, my daughter was up on stage dancing and singing, and this was like the highlight of her life because we as parents took her to the show.
Yeah.
And then he slipped his phone number, and now it's like they can't get him back.
Yeah. They
I don't want
to be deprogrammed.
Give things away, but, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You're a young girl. You're living in this house with R. Kelly still thinking, boy, he's going to make me a star. I know he's going to make me a star. You kind of forget about your other life because you're so focused and starstruck about becoming a star.
Yeah.
And then perhaps when you see your family member, like your parent, one of your parents, maybe that clicks all of a sudden, like, what am I doing?
Yeah, you would hope.
It's really sad, but we're talking about the top stories for 2019. I know it's only month one, but I mean, these are really huge stories, which I think two out of these three will be brought up at the year end as well. We have some other ones we'll get into, but first we'll take a quick break, and then Kim Gordon has our news.
Kim Novak with the news, you said.
Kim Gordon has our news here on WGN. What did you say to offend Bill? He just walked
out
of here.
I don't know. He just ran out the door.
He was talking to me.
Are you quitting?
He doesn't like us anymore.
No, I just... I have a side job. I deliver sub sandwiches during the show.
Well, you're like Jimmy John's because that was really fast.
Yeah, I got it out.
Billy John.
Billy John's the name of my sub place.
Maybe. Well, see, I know you were talking about initials yesterday, so that could be like BJ.
Yeah, that would
JB,
work.
You know.
Yeah.
Did Governor Jim Bob... No, J-Bob.
Yeah, J-Bob.
Did he order a sandwich? Is that where you were?
So I had to deliver out to him extra lettuce on his. I wouldn't have thought, but yeah, he loves the lettuce. Wendy, you have a list of the most important stories of 2019, and we're only a couple of weeks in, so...
Well, some of these were big. Just to recap real quickly, the government shutdown, Bird Box... number three is renewed calls for the prosecution of R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Number four is tidying up with Marie Kondo.
This is your favorite lady on the planet right now.
Yeah, and I told you, I bought her book has been on top of the New York bestseller list for a couple years, because I bought her book maybe 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I
How
read it.
How did you first hear about her? Where did that come from?
Social media. Somebody said she, you know, do you have a clutter problem? And I screamed yes at my computer screen.
Can you use her even if you don't have a clutter problem just to organize yourself better?
And, you know, it's just, I had the book, I read it, and it made a lot of sense, but I didn't get down to doing it. And then I happened to be watching something on Netflix. This is why I won't mind paying more. And I saw Marie Kondo tidying up. What?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are only like 6 or 8 episodes, and I binge watched them. It just came out like the beginning of January.
Yeah.
So already I need more, but.
And you're motivated.
Yeah, I'm super motivated. And, we had, I believe it was Kim Costantino on here from declutter.com.
Uh-huh.
And she had some great ideas. I think you can take all of... We've never been taught to organize. I mean, really. I used to have, as a teenager, I know you find this shocking, my room was crazy messy.
Really?
See, I'm a good organizer, but I am freaking out now because I'm getting ready to move. And do they have tips on, like, organizing yourself for
moving?
I need to look it up.
Now, Kim, you should know this. Wendy told me this, and I thought she was kidding, but it turns out she was not. This condo lady.
Which isn't that funny? Your last name is Kondo.
With a K, though.
With a K.
Is that on purpose?
No. That's her name.
No.
Okay.
She says that before throwing away items, you should talk to them and thank them for being your item.
Well, not talk to them. You just go kind of like, you know, like I got rid of a jean vest, and I'm like, thanks. I had a good time wearing you.
See ya. Isn't that talking to it?
Well, I wasn't having it wasn't talking back to me. I was thanking them for their service, basically.
You think that's normal?
No.
No.
But you know what? You are different than I am. I am a super emotional time bomb.
Yes.
And I hold on to so many things, and I don't know if it's true or not. My dad died when I was 10. My mom died a month after our wedding. I feel like I hang on to these things to keep them, but then I mentioned that, and Bill's like, well, are any of these things that belong to your parents? And I'm like, not all of it.
But does it remind you of them or things you did?
No, it's everything. I just, you know.
You need to see Mary Poppins then.
I don't want to watch that.
It's really good.
I've never seen Mary Poppins.
I just saw it. It reminds me of, like, well, never mind. We're off on.
But that is number four on this list of things.
Is the Kondo lady.
Yeah, Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo.
All right, I'm
not Marie Callender.
No.
She should also be on
there. She should be on the list.
Well, you could have
every
a pot pie in the oven while you're bailing.
You could. Number five is the Fiji water girl at the Golden Globes. I like to think it's already done.
Yeah, where how's that coming back?
She's got an Instagram and Twitter, and I wonder who's really behind it. She's not.
I think for 2019, she'll probably get booted for something big.
Probably.
As time goes on.
Again, no question.
Just the first month. Number six, the Instagram egg.
Oh, the most...
That thing took down Kylie Jenner.
The most liked Instagram post of all time, just an egg.
And I find Instagram so exciting and beautiful pictures and, you know, so much fun going on Instagram. And the egg beats out... I mean, that's just weird
but
to me.
But the purpose of it was to do just that, right?
Right.
Somebody came up with the idea. And that's a name. I mean, if it broke the record, we should be aware of who it was, but nobody seems to be. But... this person just said, I wonder if we can just put a simple picture up and see if it breaks the record, and it did. I don't know what that tells us about us ourselves.
Too many people are spending too much time on Instagram.
That's what it is, right?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And some of these are not award season. It just is award season. That's what helps us with the lull of January, I believe.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
This I don't know anything about. Chrissy Teigen versus Leslie Jones's umbrella. Chrissy Teigen's eyeball had a run-in with Leslie Jones's umbrella during a New Year's Eve broadcast. Chrissy Teigen later tweeted that she was fine. The rest of Twitter noted that her 2019 entrance was perfectly on brand for the social media maven. I didn't know anything about that.
Fighting?
No.
Just an accident.
No, it was an accident. Beyonce shopping at Target is the last one. there was Instagram pictures of her, Beyonce at Target, which would have.
Were people okay with that or upset about that? How did people react?
She was shopping at a Los Angeles Target, and fans rejoiced at her relatability, and even many celebs commented on the development. It's nice to be, I love Target.
People are normal. I mean, Michelle Obama, remember when she was spotted in Target, people just...
See, I like that.
I do, too.
Shows they're genuine people.
Me, too.
What was the clip I just saw of her on The Tonight Show? And it was from a while ago. But they asked her, you know, those clothes must have cost a fortune. And then she said, no, I got them at... And it wasn't The Gap, but it was a place...
Oh, J. Crew.
Yeah. And she said the whole thing cost $34.
Right, yeah.
And everyone's like, wow, the first lady. How about that?
It is so fun to say that. I bought my wedding dress. I can't remember. I honestly now can't remember how much it was, but it was like a floor model. So I saved a lot of money. And my mom actually said, boy, that looks beautiful. Do me a favor. Don't tell anyone how much that cost. I think that was the first thing I said to you.
Yeah.
I said it to everyone. They're like, oh, I love your dress. Oh, my God. Thank you. It was only like $250.
Yeah.
We like to say that we got a bargain.
A deal.
Yeah.
That's bottom line. So those are the hot things so far in January. Some will be covered up, but I'm telling you,
when the year is over, only one or maybe two of those.
R. Kelly will definitely be, and the shutdown.
I think those will be the two.
Yeah. Those will be the big two.
Yeah. What do you think will happen shutdown-wise if both sides are not budging and
they don't seem to be,
what happens next?
I honestly don't know. I mean, maybe Trump will come in and declare his national emergency.
That's what he says he's going to do. But everybody says, should that be the case, we have courts that will stop that.
Right.
That once they file the petition, the courts will put a block on it until it's settled. So,
but if he does that, maybe in some way he'll decide to reopen the government,
right?
You know, because he's still getting his way.
Will this set a precedent for other presidents in the future?
Nope, I would hope not.
I don't think so.
To me, you know, people are going to remember this. They're going to remember they're not getting a paycheck, and it's going to be negative.
Right.
And I mean, I think it's going to work against him, not for him. But
so why doesn't he have the ability to solve that problem in his head beforehand and go, okay, let's say I do this. Let's say I put a government shutdown. It can only come back to bite me. How can he not see that?
You're asking me to get in Donald Trump's head?
He is just, right? He's acting and reacting. He's
no,
not thinking
thing.
It through.
He doesn't think anything through. He just reacts.
That's... And that's not necessarily a fault. That's just who he is. And to this day, I'm seeing a lot of people on Facebook that, and perhaps you've seen it. I don't know if you have, but a lot of Trump supporters out there, Donald Trump supporters, are basically, and I'm paraphrasing completely, but say you were on vacation and you came home and there were a bunch of raccoons in your basement.
Yes.
You would call an exterminator or someone to get rid of those raccoons.
Right.
But you wouldn't have to like that raccoon guy. You know, even if he was a bad guy, ex-con, beat his wife, all those things. What do you care about what he does? He's getting the
job
done.
Yeah.
And that's what they're comparing the Donald Trump thing. And it's a lot. He still has a lot of fans in his corner.
Sure.
The approval rating is pretty low. But you just have your hardcore fans that wanted things done differently, and they're sick of politics. They're sick of Democrats and Republicans. And I don't know that I disagree with them there. I wish there didn't have to be a party system, but that's what we got going.
That's what we have, and we're stuck with it. But, you know, the thing about the raccoon analogy is that people come, they take care of your raccoons, they're gone.
They don't
affect
your life.
They make one decision
for
you, right. They're not affecting your entire life.
That's a good point.
You know, it's a one-and-done deal. This is not.
So initially, he had a price that was $5 billion. And now they're saying that he'll settle for somewhere in the twos.
He will?
I thought it was like 4.3.
Yeah, because I thought two something was kind of offered to him, not directly for the wall, but for various items that he could use. And he balked at the $2 billion.
And he's not going to give up without an actual permanent structure. Like that's, you know, his thing. It can be steel, it can be whatever, but he wants that fence. He wants the actual structure.
Because then he can spin it as, look, the fence I told you about,
it's
a beautiful,
beautiful thing you've ever seen.
Even though it's made out of bubble gum, it's still a fence.
Right. But wouldn't you think that the next president that isn't him, like if he runs for re-election, which, you know, he may not want to.
Oh, I can't see it.
I don't know. I don't. We'll have to see. If he wins again, there I will move with Alec Baldwin to Canada.
You and Alec Baldwin are going to play in Canada?
You know, what's the saying? Fool me once.
Shame on me. Or fool me once, shame on...
Shame on you.
Fool
me
twice,
shame
on
me.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. But if the next president is not Donald Trump and the wall has gone up, don't you think that that wall is going to come down? Wouldn't this have been a waste of money?
But are people going to get mad or taxpayers going to get mad?
Yes.
And you're wasting more money to take it down.
It's
just
a lose-lose.
Yeah.
It is a lose-lose situation.
But the thing is, wall up, down, it's a symbol of what this
seclusion.
Country does not stand for.
Right.
A lot of people think it does stand for that, though. And that's what it surprises me, I guess I'll say.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
People that I know, I haven't hung with them in a long time, but people that I know from high school and junior high, and I don't comment on their pages because we don't see eye to eye, and I don't want to get in an argument. I will not fight politics on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That's a losing battle there.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone's entitled to...
That's a shame on me right there.
And to their opinion, but I'm just confused sometimes that these otherwise seemingly very smart and intelligent people want to close our borders and really appreciate, you know, sure, Donald Trump is a ruffian and kind of a bully, but he's getting the job done. What job?
Well, everybody's version of the success and failure of that is different.
Correct.
Right. Everybody has a different view.
Right. Right, right, right. It's just so strange watching it play out this way. It, when people said, when he won, what do you expect to happen over the next 4 years? It's kind of, what's happening is kind of what I expected, which is not quite chaos, but right on the brink of chaos, you know,
right,
where things are like traditional rules are being challenged on a daily basis, where he's taking time out. The Jeff Bezos thing is hysterical, that a president of the United States is gloating over the fact that a guy's having an affair and his marriage is crumbling.
Right.
It's so funny that a president of the United States...
Well, he can relate.
He can relate, but he's looking at it as, you know, for what it is.
Neener, neener, neener.
There's one of my enemies
kind of
in a bad position. I'm going to take this time to rip him. Would any other was there a single president we've ever had in the past that would stoop to something like that?
No, they might think it.
You can think it all day long.
They would never say it publicly.
Right, because it really does make you look bad.
What did you guys think about the whole fast food delivery thing for Clemson at the White House?
Where he had McDonald's and Burger King and pizza for the guys?
Yeah. What did you think of that? A lot of people were outraged by it, and somebody asked me about it. I'm like, look, I have bigger fish to fry with him.
Yeah, that's small potatoes.
I don't care.
Yeah.
But some people looked at it as maybe it was racist but I don't know.
It kind of, for me, it fit what's going on with today's White House, which is everything that you know in the past about the presidency and everything surrounding it
just
doesn't
throw it out
matter
the window.
Anymore.
Right. Throw it out the window and, you know, it's a good way to get publicity.
How is it racist?
Because he's saying it, but
I like Wendy's, McDonald's, and Burger King.
It's like they won't appreciate better food so why bother?
I don't think that was it.
I didn't see it either. I think sometimes
I think it's universal.
I think sometimes people just try to stir the pot when the pot doesn't need to be stirred, and there's enough stuff stirred in that pot right now. Just leave it alone.
Right.
So it was McDonald's and Burger King. Was Wendy's involved in the buffet too?
There was a pizza place.
Yeah, there was pizza.
Because if, you know, that all of a sudden showed up in our conference room, wouldn't all of us be able to find one of those? I mean, I just think it's just so universal that the majority of people would find something they like from these places.
Right. And we've all been to like really fancy parties or weddings where, you know, you have all this unbelievable food, and at midnight they bring out the fries and the hot dogs and everybody's
castles.
Like on beautiful silver trays, and you're like, wow, this is great. You know? So I
have to be honest, there are times where I've been in really nice restaurants and the food is expensive but just okay, and I say to myself, I would have rather have had
you spend a ton of money, of course.
Right.
Or it didn't fill you up and you gotta stop and gotta make double on the way home.
Exactly.
Yeah, without a doubt. So while we're talking about the fence, the biggest story from last week that got no traction at all, I saw it in one small thing on the cable news, was Donald Trump Jr.'s suggestion that the border wall is the exact same as the fence at a zoo. How did that not get more play? That's as offensive as anything I can possibly imagine.
Yes.
He said that's essentially what it is.
Well, it would be cheaper.
Yeah, I guess. But it's so funny that now, with all the things that are said and done on a daily or weekly basis at the White House, something like that that normally would have had everybody outraged. Wait, did he just say that that's like offensive?
Well, you know, the other thing is there were some awfully big stories that came out over the weekend, too.
That just fade away.
And so this is a great distraction from the stuff going on with Mueller and some of these other things.
Yeah. Well, there has been a theory all along that the reason this is playing out right now, the reason that the government shutdown is happening, is to take focus away from the Mueller investigation.
Right. I mean, because that article over the weekend said that there were, you know, reports that Trump could possibly allegedly be working
for
Russia.
Yeah.
You haven't seen much of that, you know?
Yeah.
That's big.
It popped up a bit on the news shows yesterday. It was kind of danced in and out during the news shows yesterday. And that it's not just big, it's gigantic.
It's huge.
It's so big. Did you ever see The Manchurian Candidate?
No.
It's the movie The Manchurian Candidate. It really is.
I'm just bothered that people can't afford to eat or get gas or pay their bills.
It's very upsetting.
That scares me so much that a president of our country would allow that to happen. to government workers.
Right.
That's even more ironic to me.
But see, that's the thing. I think, you know, in his mind, and I'm not taking up for him, but that's what I don't think he understands, that the government is not like running a business.
Right.
It's not like running a real estate business. It's totally different. And I just don't think he can wrap his head around that.
But he keeps saying over and over again, I'm talking to these people who are government workers. They're supporting me. They're behind me. They're saying, don't give up the fight.
But every soundbite, everything else I
just
hear
the opposite.
Absolutely. You know, it's...
Yeah.
He said, she said, I guess.
So does somebody say to him, you got to spin it a certain way, Mr. President?
I don't think he cares. I mean, I don't think he...
He doesn't listen to people. What he wants, bottom line.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, but a lot of people respect that. This is a guy who's unfiltered. We need to shake things up. And, you know, I will be honest with you. There was some intrigue about, let's blow this whole thing up and start from the beginning. I did
not. Politics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's run the wrong way.
But it blew up.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? It maybe didn't blow up the way people thought it was going to blow up.
But there are still people who are completely satisfied, which, again, we've talked about this before. I'd like to open up the phone lines and you explain, because I don't understand it.
I understand people being fed up because I admit it 100%. The way politics has been for most of my life, like, the more I know about it, the less I like.
Exactly.
You just go, wow, this is so awful and so corrupt. So when a guy comes along and goes, the old way of doing politics, that is the old way. I've got a new way. I'll show you how to do politics. So I get people being charmed by that, but...
It was a new choice. That's what it was.
And I appreciate that, too, but what I don't like is the divisiveness and the bullying and the ramrodding
and the lack
of class that you don't have to do in order to get things accomplished.
Right.
You can still be kind and nice.
And you can still admit when you're wrong, and that's what people have a problem doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, I'm sure it's difficult for somebody to go, you know what, I voted for Donald Trump and I really believed in shaking things up, but boy, am I sorry I did that. There are some people that have said that. But there are other people, it's like, I don't care who won, who lost, I care what's good for the country, and I feel like that's what we should all be worried about.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's what's happened. Everybody's gone to their political sides, and everybody's at one extreme, but there's nobody back in the middle trying to just make things better for everyone. It's like, we're on two opposite sides, so far apart
right and
you
far
can't
left.
Move to the middle.
Right.
Because it's the same on the Democratic side as it is on the Republican side.
Yeah. Far left is not good. Far right is not good. We all need to come more to the center.
When this is over, when he's no longer the president and everybody connected with this regime, that could be any minute. It could be in 6 years. All right. So when it's over and everybody connected with this writes a book, whose book will be the one that you think will be the one that everyone's got and goes, that's the book?
Donald Trump's.
Is it his book? Is it his? Because he sees it from...
I wouldn't read it.
Melania's. No, I don't know.
I wonder.
Comey? Well, Comey's got the book already.
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody who's seen this thing all the way through. Maybe
Eric
it's Ivanka.
Trump.
Really? Do you think?
I don't know.
If she goes against the grain and really is very honest about things,
she won't go against her dad.
Is Mueller the one who could write a book that people go, no, that's the document of what happened. That's the true story of what happened.
It's got to be somebody, though, who's, you know,
Dr. Seuss
neutral.
Is gone.
It's got to be somebody who's neutral, who's seen the thing from beginning to end, in my opinion.
But Dr. Seuss couldn't write it because nothing rhymes with orange.
But a lot of things do rhyme with Trump.
Yes. And most of them negative.
Bump, dump.
Hump. Chump. Right. Almost everything that rhymes.
Clump.
Right. Jump. All of them. Only ump is the only one that's fairly decent. All the rest of the rhyming words are negative. Kim, thank you for hanging out. We appreciate it. We'll come back
How
and close things
anyway?
Off. I don't know. I have no idea.
I think it might have been my fault.
The stories of the year.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The shutdown.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. We'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. That's all she wrote.
So will we update people whenever a new story supplants one of the ones you just told us? Will we just quickly update that top 10 list throughout the year?
No.
Or we'll wait till the end of the year?
That's too much
work.
That's
the way to do it. We'll wait till the end of the year. All right. That's it for today's show, everybody. Tomorrow, Wednesday, the middle of the week.
Oh, yeah.
We're already there. We're almost there.
Happy hump day. It's hump day. I love that Geico commercial. What is wrong with me?
You only like commercials from yesteryear.
Yes, I do.
Hey, Wendy, what's up?
What's up?
That's fun. All right, we'll live in the past more tomorrow. Enjoy us then. It's Bill and Wendy. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.